866-2237.
America Tonight, each and every show, as you all know, we go inside the Beltway with the true insiders from Talk Radio News. One of our favorites, of course, Victoria Jones. Victoria, how you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Boy, your home country of the UK not doing so well. We've talked about that a bunch here on America Tonight. I was, before I went on the air on our last show, there was like 75 fires that had been set all over the place in and around London. My goodness, how do the police and the firefighters keep up with all of this? It's very sad what's happening.
It's very sad what's happening, and they're really not able to keep up with it. I mean, it's just beyond anything that anybody's ever seen. The courts can't keep up with it. The prisons can't keep up with it. Nobody can keep up with it. And, you know, and basically people are just beyond themselves. I read a fascinating story about one Labour council member from Edmonton, which is a tough area in London. You know, so he's pretty far left, who spent a lot of time looking out of his bedroom window at plumes of smoke coming from a factory that looters set on fire. And he said, this is a direct quote from him. He said, "Look, I'm a lefty. I believe in redistribution. I believe in the politics of the street. But to me, that means Tiananmen Square, not some kid smashing in a record shop. This is bull bleep."
Yeah, no kidding. I like how people, a lot of the shopkeepers and whatnot, are just in a solidarity show are trying to line up and sort of block the gangs, but very tough to see what's happening on video. Some of the, you know, this is radio, but as I tell the listeners, Victoria, what you see, these pictures are just shocking. I've seen riots before, and I've seen certainly chaos and violence. We've seen that in the Middle East and Egypt and some of these uprisings. But it's very sad to see what's happened in London the last 5 days. Very, very sad, no doubt about that.
It really is. And yet some people are saying you can't even call these riots because a riot has to have a political component.
Yeah.
And they're saying that at this point there is no political component here. And so they're not even – some people people who follow riots, you know, like academics are saying they won't even call them a riot.
Yeah.
They're just calling them they don't even have a word for this.
Sure. It's just that people are that stunned, absolutely. Let's move on to Washington as we keep an eye on the UK, but let's move on to Washington and this super committee. What's going on there, this deficit panel, because now members are starting to emerge, some choices are starting to emerge as to who's going to be on this panel. What do you know about that?
Well, there are six places on the panel. Six Republicans, six Democrats, House, Senate, House, Senate. And three Democrats were announced from the Senate yesterday, and all six Republicans were announced today. So we're just waiting for Nancy Pelosi's picks. These six Republicans are stalwart, conservative, all big tax cutters. They've all signed Grover Norquist's pledge, making it increasingly likely that any real tax revenues are going to be on the table, really. They're a mixture on a mixture of committees, but nevertheless, you've got Pat Toomey, who's a real Tea Partier. You've got Rob Portman, who used to do budget for Bush. So you've got an interesting mix. You've got Dave Camp, who's chair of House Ways and Means, Commerce Chairman Fred Upton, Republican Conference Chairman Jeb Hensarling. I mean, these are all very solid, real right conservative people. And then the Democrats appointed a strange mixture, at least Harry Reid did, of Patty Murray to be the chair, then John Kerry, whose experience is in foreign relations, and Max Baucus, who is chair of the Finance Committee. So it makes sense in a sense, except that progressives are saying he's so moderate that he's likely to give away the farm.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. I thought the same thing when I was looking through some of the stuff out of D.C. I was surprised by that. And the thing that you and I have talked about is really, at the end of the day, not to just put a negative pall over this, but you just spelled it out when you're talking about you're talking about the representation on this super committee. Are they really going to come to any kind of a consensus? Let's be serious. It's not looking good.
No, it's not looking good. And I think the feeling in Washington is that, my feeling certainly, is that it wasn't looking good before, and it's looking much worse now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of looking worse, wow, the Dow dropped again. The Dow down 520 points, so the market's rocking all over the place. What are they saying in D.C. about the stock market?
Well, I mean, they're very worried. I mean, I said earlier in the week that the word is volatility, and that's the word that we just have to stick with for probably for a few weeks to come, and not focus on what happens in the stock market every day, because it's going to drive us absolutely mad. To some extent, what was driving the stock market today was France. They're worried. The president had a scheduled meeting today with his economic team and with Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke and Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner. And they discussed, quote, the economic and global recovery, the economy and global recovery. And they discussed the outlook for the recovery and for jobs, as well as fiscal issues, including the need to tackle long-term deficit reduction. So that really tells you absolutely nothing about what they discussed. But I think it was probably a very, very tough meeting.
Yeah. So from the stock market to, what a wild twist, Sarah Palin, the Palin bus tour, rolls into Iowa this week, and that's right before the straw poll. What's the buzz on Palin out of the Capitol?
This is just so weird. People are going like, well, wait a second. She started the bus tour. She stopped, which nobody knew where it was going. She stopped the bus tour, just stopped it cold when she hadn't finished the bus tour. And then suddenly she says, oh, we're happy to jump back. We accept with gratefulness, and the word actually is gratitude, an invitation to meet folks at the Iowa State Fair. And so she was invited, which is fascinating. But she's really, you know, going to overshadow the straw poll, which, of course, she knows perfectly well. And so off she goes on her One Nation tour to revitalize the fundamental restoration of America by highlighting our nation's heart, history, and founding principles.
And then Rick Perry, too. So
who is expected to? The rumors are that he will announce on Saturday's straw poll day. So that'll suck the oxygen out of the room.
Yeah, no kidding. It would be fun to be there just to see what happens as everyone moves around. I think when you look at the people that are going to be there in Iowa, it's a preview of things to come, maybe in 2012 as we get closer. Sadly, we moved to the Middle East, and now there's these calls to get rid of Assad, President Assad, in Syria, and the Syrian situation. In my mind, Victoria has just gotten lost in the sauce because of everything else that's going on in the Middle East. So what do you think happens with Assad?
Well, I don't know whether he'll go. He shows no signs of going. He is a strong man, and he has control of the situation by sheer force. But the Obama administration is apparently preparing to make an explicit call for him to step down. They have imposed some tough new sanctions on his regime today. And the State Department has basically broken off efforts to work with his government. So it's expected that it'll be tomorrow that the White House plans to announce this tough stance on Assad and probably to call for him to step down.
Yeah. Victoria Jones, Talk Radio News, thanks a lot. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Question: can functional magnetic resonance imaging be used to read our minds? Author Jose Collazo answers yes in his two new books, America's New Slavery. For more than 13 years, author Jose Collazo has been trying to prove that the U.S. government has the capacity to read a person's thoughts with a revolutionary technology known as fMRI, functional magnetic resonance imaging, and there is proof that it exists. America's New Slavery explores this technology and its many possible applications in national security. Who has access to it? How is it being used? Does America's salvation rest in this technology? These and many other questions are answered in America's New Slavery, the new books by Jose Collazo, available on BN.com, Amazon.com, and Borders.com. America's New Slavery. All Americans should be concerned.
Welcome, third shifters and many others listening to America Tonight. You know how we roll here. We zig and zag all over the place. Kate Delaney hanging out, as always, at the helm of this little old ship. Tell you the biggest, I think, lift I got on the day was when I heard that the military nabbed the Taliban who downed that Chinook helicopter over the weekend. So they took down maybe about 10 people altogether. And just a few little details were released about it. Mostly that stuff is all under a shroud of secrecy. So much for transparency. Although that's okay. I like this Marine Corps General John Allen. He held a news conference at the Pentagon, was happy to report that an F-16 airstrike is what took out less than 10 insurgents that were involved in that Chinook copter crash. The big one is they were able to also get Taliban leader Mujahabullah and the insurgent who actually fired, they say, the rocket-propelled grenade at the helicopter. They got all this information on the ground, felt like they had a high amount of confidence in it, and decided to go after the people as fast as they could. And Allen also, since he was being peppered with questions, defended the decision to send in the Chinook, because this is what we kept asking, defended the position to send in a Chinook loaded with special ops guys to pursue some insurgents escaping from the weekend firefight with Army Rangers in a very dangerous area of eastern Afghanistan. And what he said is, look, we've run a couple of thousands of these night ops over the last year. The fact that we lost this one is not a decision point as to whether we'll use the Chinook In the future, it's not uncommon at all to use this aircraft on our special missions. So he got a little bit defensive when he was grilled about why were all these guys there, why were they on the Chinook. You know, it's a small moving bird when you take that many people in the air. And he said, we've done all those raids. That's what makes me think as well that there's something more to, did they know who was on the helicopter, and were there some guys or a guy even that was part of the bin Laden case? I wouldn't be shocked by that. They're saying no, but, you know, they got to protect the families and all that other stuff. So that could be a reason why. The names of the people, the 17 SEALs, the 5 Navy Special Ops troops, the 3 Air Force airmen, 5 members of an Army air crew, a military dog, all that, Afghan commandos and interpreter, all that's going to be released. Leon Panetta, the Defense Department, you know, the Secretary of the Defense, said that would be made public. Not made public was when the C-17s came in. There was 2 of them. They were met by the president, the defense secretary, who just mentioned Leon Panetta, the Joint Chiefs Chairman, Admiral Mike Mullen, and a bunch of other military leaders. So they're reviewing and questioning as to why they use that helicopter. And the reason with that helicopter is it's so big. And for most operations, that's key. They have the room to transport people. And unfortunately, it ended in disaster here. Was it just coincidence? Okay, we're looking to take anything out that the Americans or NATO or whoever's doing. And sadly, it just happened to be this chopper. Or was the chopper downed because the Taliban folks knew who was on it? I wouldn't be stunned if they knew who was on it. Think about information and what's paid on both sides for bigger, badder, better information, and the answer is they're going to go to whoever is paying them. That's just the way it is. They're going to go to those people. And in this case, what's interesting is how tightly sealed up it is. Just some of the details released, but there are still a lot of missing components, I think. And therefore, when the government talks about transparency, you can say to yourself, ha! Transparency. There's more transparency in my teenage son's room than in the White House. But good news, they brought him down. There is the retribution factor. Maybe for some they'll feel that way, although I can only imagine what a heavy heart most of those parents have, given the age of their kids who were serving and whatnot. I think that the retribution is key and is good and should happen anyway. But it's still an awful thing to have happen. So what's up with Bonnie and Clyde plus one? We talked about the story a ton. I feel like I owe it to all of you to give you the payoff. The FBI nationwide manhunt for the Daugherty gang, and they're all related, ended at a weird place, Pueblo, Colorado. They were being searched for all over the country. And finally, and they knew they were armed and dangerous, finally they had information that they believed was dead on about the Daugherty clan, and they were able to nail them. Now, the sister, Lee Grace Daugherty, was the oldest, 29 years old. She was actually shot in the leg after she pointed a gun at the cops while trying to escape on foot. I mean, these are wild kids. They're brazen, 100-mile-an-hour car chases, trying to rip off banks, actually ripping off several banks. So they had no fear about any of this. Any of it whatsoever. 155 miles south of Denver. That's where they were. And all of them are facing charges on other things. That's what's so wild. So not only do they have to worry about that, but all this fresh stuff, which should put them in prison for a little while. They're not gonna be having a party in the upcoming years for their birthday. I guess maybe in the joint. I don't know. Do they give you a cupcake with a candle on it? I can't say that I know. I've been to several rough prisons, and I didn't see any cupcakes hanging around. But it's crazy what they've been able to do, how they've been able to avoid police and all that other stuff. And the fact that they're armed and dangerous, I think, scares other people because you don't know if they're going to use it or not. All right, let's move on to a couple of other things. In our next segment, we're actually going to dive in a little bit deeper to some of this day in history and what's tied into it. But we move from the siblings who end up in Colorado and getting caught to a couple of other, I think, interesting stories across the U.S. We have the military getting the retribution for the people they shot down out of the sky. Two, the war of words. John McCain, and he chose this word, John McCain is under pressure from the Tea Party to apologize for what he say. What did he say? And if you thought that McCain took a chunk out of the Tea Partiers and called them hobbits, give yourself a cigar. You are 100% right. But a Tea Partier person confronted McCain during a town hall meeting asking to please apologize for calling us hobbits. Instead, he could have made a little bit worse. He doesn't get the honey thing. He said, I am sorry if I was misunderstood, but I am not sorry for what I said. Why should I if it was a fact? McCain isn't alone in that one. I think there are others that would back up McCain for, you know, what he said. And he says, it's unrealistic, unfair to the American people to tell them we have to pass a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution before we would act. Yeah, touche with that, because you can get so bogged down into all the other stuff, that ancillary stuff that go along with it. It makes sense that you just chill on the whole thing. And that's what's happening here. Wow, the Tea Party. First, or what were they called? Hobbits is one word that will stick. All kinds of other things. And the Tea Party, just, they're smart. They just deflect it. At this point, they're just deflecting it because they want 2012 to be a huge blowout, meaning that the Democrats, and if you look at the polls, that the Democrats in some key places take a tumble big time. But McCain, he's not backing down. He's not saying he has early Alzheimer's or anything like that. He said it. He's owning it. So they can't even come back at him. Wow. And how about Rick Perry, the governor of Texas, going to declare for the race for president in 2012? Would have a good chance, but there's Romney. I'm going to say Romney's stronger. Hang with us. Much more to come here on ATN.
Hi folks, this is Steve Shank and Babs Rosberg here with eFoods Direct. July is over and our customers love the Freedom Food Giveaway.
Thanks to all of you who registered for the giveaway, and congratulations to the winners who were from Kentucky, North Carolina, Minnesota, and California. They all received a one-year supply of food free.
And now we launch into August with a big celebration, our 30-year anniversary in the long-term storable food business.
Golly, it's hard to believe we've been helping people with the best food on the planet for three decades.
Folks, to celebrate, you can get our premier one-year Freedom Food Supply for 30% off.
Wow, that's lower than 1981 prices.
Help us celebrate 30 years and get the lowest price ever on a one-year Freedom Supply. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/freedom. This is a limited-time offer. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com. Direct.com/freedom. Call 800-250-1857.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including turtle tough shelters.
We have added 2 24-foot turtle toughs to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in two sizes. Get your Turtle Tough Shelter and accessories included at TurtleToughShelters.com. That's Turtle, T-U-F-F, Shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
Hey, Bill, pick up line 3. It's Brian.
Hey, Brian, what's up?
Brian here.
Thanks. Hey, Bill, I just received my shipment of the Safety Net, our full-year emergency food system. I can't tell you how great it feels to personally not have to worry anymore, especially with the growing threats to our everyday food supply.
Brian, not only are you getting 4,320 nutritionally dense, delicious food servings, but the individual serving price is just $1.43 per meal. It's truly great tasting food at amazing prices.
The variety is also a huge bonus, Bill. It's like having access to a full menu of impressive food.
Well, it really is a safety net for those worried about the coming food shortages and how their families can prepare.
It's great knowing I'm covered for the future, but I gotta go, Bill, and get all this food unloaded.
With scorching heat devastating U.S. cropland, there's never been a better time to visit SafetyNetSavings.com. That's SafetyNetSavings.com. Visit SafetyNetSavings.com today.
Speaking of that, the ghetto child in the UK, it is just a nightmare, pure chaos. And what's really being said about those that are part of these so-called riots, really they're looting and pillaging and setting things on fire, and there's no political background, as Victoria talked about at the top, or no political meaning to the riot. So it's not a movement. Really, almost anyone will tell you these are young, poor, and disillusioned boys. There may be a girl or two, but it's mostly boys. And you, for example, you'll see an 11-year-old who was arrested for stealing a garbage can. And then you look across and you see the cousin who's 15 years old. And England is very much divided on the reasons behind what's happening. Some are saying it's the unrest, so it's created opportunistic criminality. Others say it's just all this economic policy shift and spending cuts and showing that things are unequal in the country and some of the most deprived areas, and that's what it's led to, all the struggles and the lack of you know, the lack of any path, any true path. Well, you could say that across the world right now. Britain has one of the highest violent crime rates in the European Union altogether. About 18% of the young people between 16 and 24 are jobless. 18 is pretty high. And half of all blacks are out of work. Half. Wow. So what's happening, of course, there, you've got the same thing. You've got debt. You've got welfare cuts. You have really a lot of bleakness around. And I think that's part of the reason. But here's the thing. So if almost 1,400, give or take, people have been arrested, where are the parents in all of this? Where's the parents? Were the parents raising these kids? What happened here? That's what I would say. Somehow that never seems to come up, or maybe it does, but for the most part, that's not discussed. And I got to say, you got to look to the parents as to why are these kids so rudderless. An 11-year-old with a cousin in the street, too? Yeah. I think also they have a series of other problems they're dealing with in some of these areas. And sure, there's lots of tension. Sure, there's a bunch of there, especially when you want to talk about hate crimes. There's a bunch of hate crimes. But this is just all of it, I think, bubbling over. It's just all bubbling over. And yes, there's inequality. There's high level of unemployment, 16 to 24. And they don't have a lot of education to back them up. They don't have the specialized training. And they can't buy it. They can't get it because they don't have the money. Now, the Prime Minister, David Cameron, has pledged £80 billion, which would be the equivalent of $129 billion U.S.-wise of spending cuts and £30 billion in extra taxes because they've got a huge deficit. Remember, their government did what we did. They bailed out the banks. Yes, bailing out the banks, turns out, is a costly thing in a lot of different ways, not just talking about currency. So something has sparked this group to go even crazier. And what is that? Is it the disillusionment, no jobs? You know, there's more to the story to be certain. But you look at that and you think, oh, thank goodness that's not happening here. But could it happen here? Because some of the things that might have kicked off why this is continuing. Yes, it was a gang member that was allegedly shot by the cops that really started, quotes, the fire going, ignited everything. But now it has a life of its own. Could we see this in the United States? Boy, I'll tell you what, let's hope not. Let's hope we don't see this nonsense here. The businesses that are destroyed, the lives that are ripped up from that, I mean, really. It's terrible. At a moment's notice, the livelihoods are just poof, picked off there. And relatively quiet on Thursday. We'll see as the clock rolls around what it's like, or is it going to be more of the same? A couple of other quick hits for you, because we talked about this as well. In looking down the road a bit and talking about people being disillusioned, 16 to 25 to 26 in the UK, we have a stagnant job market. I think the biggest thing, if I was boiling it down, the biggest thing that has to happen in the United States is jobs. We keep hearing about stimulus and job growth. I don't know where this job growth is happening. But I think there's more people that are out of work, certainly in my lifetime, than I've ever seen. And I just read this interesting story about, with this job market the way it is, you've got law graduates from New York and Michigan schools, big schools, that are accusing their alma maters of duping grads out of hundreds of thousands of dollars in tuition by publishing, I love this, misleading postgraduate employment and salary statistics. So bravo to them. There are actually two class action suits that have been filed by graduates of the New York Law School and then also the Thomas Cooley Law School in Lansing, Michigan. And this is all about some scrutiny over whether law schools across the country are deliberately concealing what would only be described as the truth about their graduates' employment and salary so that they can get more students. They're lying. False advertising. Yeah. And I don't doubt it. I mean, I hate to say that, but I can imagine somebody pumping out this stuff in some office somewhere, and yeah, that's what they're doing. They're spinning it. But then people are disillusioned because they end up on the street selling fake Rolexes to try to get some money in because they got to pay for this law degree. Ooh. Unless you're specialized or you're a legacy, you have a father or somebody in it, it is pretty tough because that field is specialized, but it's shrinking too in some areas. You think about how much money you have to pay back when you get a degree like that. Oh, we're talking serious bucks for a law degree. If you got no aid, oof. I would hope you could put a shingle up as fast as possible to start taking a chunk out of that tremendous debt. Could be 40, could be 50, could be 60. Who knows? Could be countless. Most likely countless. You can't count on your digits. I'm going to say that's pretty bad. So I'm sticking with it. That's my story, and I am sticking with it, by golly, here on America Tonight. A couple of you sent me some interesting, actually, questions, and I thought it was clever. I don't know if I, maybe on a show I called for that, I'm not quite sure, but there is massive response. And speaking of response, and I love this, Standard & Poor's downgrading is what initially sparked the sell-off on Wall Street and urgent calls to brokers and people being, you know, frantic over what was going on. So the S&P and the downgrading of the credit, the S&P is being looked into because they've been on, you know, under the gun for quite some time since the Enron scandal of 2001 when people were told, oh, leave your money in the 401k, it's fine, it's great, it's wonderful. And then they all ended up losing. You know, Jeffrey Skilling might have gone to jail. Ken Lay died. But did the people who worked for Enron, did they want a scapegoat? Of course they did, because they could have bailed out. Some people tried to cash out, and they were persuaded not to. Oh, when they were at, you know, getting closer to retirement age. So the thing that I love about the fact that there's some concern about the S&P, I say bring it on. Absolutely. They have to investigate Standard & Poor's because they need to see what information they come back with in this whole downgrading of the U.S. government debt to certain financial institutions or banks before it was publicly released. Whew. Sounds convoluted? It's not. It's not convoluted. In fact, Congresswoman Maxine Waters called for the House Financial Services Committee to hold a hearing on the implications of the S&P downgrade. I'll tell you, it means the market rocks and rolls and barely goes up one day and it falls all the way down the next. So that's one of those situations where someone's trying to weigh what to do. Hopefully they sold or put it into cash, so they might have made a nice little profit versus hanging on to it and letting her ride. We're letting her ride. Stay with us. Hang on tight. We're coming back for more on the flip side.
would you like to have normal blood pressure?
This is Ernesto from Illinois. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I got my labs in. My HDL is 119L, and my LDL is 37L. My doctor asked what I was doing to lower it so much, so I told her about HB Extract.
Millions of people, like Ernesto, are suffering from high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, and clogged arteries. But now there's an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation. Heart and Body Extract.
My blood pressure has not gone past 125 over 80 in almost a month.
Experience amazing benefits when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract.
She did a double take when she looked at my ER labs. She couldn't believe it.
Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
Thank you. Heart and Body Extract.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
What's cooking at PrizeKitchen.com? Plenty! Low prices on your favorite kitchen brand appliances, Vitamix blenders, Omega juicers, reverse osmosis systems, and more. Plus, free shipping on it all. PrizeKitchen.com gives your family the tools for a healthy lifestyle by eating more fruits and veggies and drinking pure water. Go to PrizeKitchen.com. Great selection, low prices, free shipping. PrizeKitchen.com. We help make healthy lifestyles convenient.
Don't let summer be a bummer. Stop sunburn pain, poison ivy, and mosquito bite itch, and the burn of athlete's foot with just one Safe-All natural first aid product, Dermatol. Many GCN listeners have already discovered how effective Dermatol is as a natural, non-acidic way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many skin problems. Now this special offer. Buy one bottle of Dermatol, get one bottle free. Call 1-800-217-6677 and mention GCN. Dermatol is the must-have first aid product for your preparedness kit. Made in America by Americans, Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. And ask for the GCN Buy One, Get One Free Special, or use coupon code GCN at checkout at DermatolUSA.com. Spelled DermatolUSA.com. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
All the Beatles certainly weren't untouchable, at least one of them anyway. Paul McCartney, the latest celeb, dragged into this whole phone hacking scandal. And we know that the allegations are that journalists eavesdropped on private phone messages. They bribed the cops, the police officers, for tips, and then they got confidential information for stories, because of course if you can tap into the phones, what do you think you're going to get? What stuff are you going to hear? And McCartney is livid, I understand. And what's happened is it goes back to the days of Heather Mills, his former wife, and Piers Morgan, who's now on CNN. While this was all happening, He was part of the whole Daily Mirror. He was the editor for the flagship, the Daily Mirror tabloid. And one of the things that's now bubbled up from this is this was happening as he was there, right? These things were being played out. And at one point he wrote something in 2006. He wrote something where he said that they had played a tape of a message of McCartney that was left on Mills' cell phone in one of their fights. And he wrote it was heartbreaking. He sounded lonely, miserable, and desperate. And he even sang, "We can work it out," into the answering phone. Well, how did he hear that? So now that's what they're questioning. How did Piers Morgan come to hear the message? And they're asking him to come back to the UK so he can explain himself. So far, he is not commenting on his article, although he's saying that the allegations are unsubstantiated and that the judge in the couple's divorce case had already cast doubts on her credibility. Ooh. Piers Morgan might be in trouble, and CNN, once again, will have made a blunder in their hiring. We'll see. Because he was right there in the thick of it. They got those messages. Here's, by the way, what Paul McCartney had to say.
When I go back after this tour, I'm going to talk to the police because apparently I have been hacked. I don't actually know much about it, but they won't tell anyone except the person themselves. So I will be talking to them about that. I don't think it's great. I do think it is a horrendous violation of privacy. And I do think it's been going on a long time, and I do think more people than we know knew about it.
Yeah, I think more people knew, too, and that house of cards might fall. Don in Wyoming, hello.
Oh, Paul, just go smoke a joint, you'll be okay.
Now, I hope they bring this guy down. If Piers Morgan has become so famous because of all these stories he broke, and really he was getting tapes of people, what a layup that is, Don.
Well, you know, I don't know, Kate. I just shake my head every day to see how many dishonest people there are on this planet, you know?
I know.
Everybody just trying to get gain, and I don't blame Paul for being ticked off, you know? I mean, the whole family's probably pretty ticked. I mean, you know, a lot of people in Paul go there, and, you know, I mean, we went through such the stink with the, Patriot Act, you know? People were all freaking out whether the government was going to be listening in, and, you know, but, that was at least for our security, hopefully. This is just for somebody to make money, you know, and get down to the show or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I got a great story one time. I'm going to have to tell you about Paul McCartney. So it happened when we were in Japan. So
tell us the story. We want to hear. What's the story? You were in Japan. What, you ran into him?
All right, we'll do Social Security next week. It's not going anywhere, right?
It's not going anywhere right now.
Well, 1979, Paul McCartney and Wings are pretty much one of the biggest bands in the late 70s around the world. And that was the one band that, for some reason, everybody in our little tiny school of 150 kids liked, you know. And I'd say probably, we were closer to 200. Probably about 100 of us had tickets to go see him in concert at Budokan Hall. And they were, you know, I think they were like $30, which back then was a lot of money, you know, and we had to save up for it, and we were a whole lot, and I remember we had this one whole section that was just going to be all the kids from our high school, you know, and so we're all excited about it, and my dad had just happened to fly back to the United States to take care of some business, because he was getting ready to retire at the end of the year, and he was flying back, and he got to sit up there in first class. This couple got on in Seattle and a bunch of other people, and they're sitting there talking to, Seattle to Tokyo is about, I think it's 10 hours, 14 hours, something like that, for a plane ride. That lady's husband was just sleeping the whole way pretty much. He chatted with her the whole way, kind of. And so they got to coming into Tokyo, and they're getting her in to land at Narita Airport. Now, anybody who doesn't know about the airports in Japan, Haneda was the airport that was downtown Tokyo. It's pretty much right down there by the bay. It's a landfill airport and just two runways, and, you know, with how much planes fly in and out of Tokyo, it was always packed. And they built, in the early 70s, they had built this new airport north of Tokyo, but all the chicken farmers kept protesting, and they couldn't open it. 78 or 79, they finally got to open Narita, which is where, if you fly to Tokyo today, that's where you'll fly into. They still use Haneda, but that's pretty much just cargo. cargo planes fly there, you know, FedEx, all those guys, UPS. And they're coming in to land, and the lady looked outside and looked over my dad and says, "Where are the city lights?" And he says, "Oh, we're going into the new airport. It's about 30 miles north of town." And she's like, "Really? Is there a customs there?" And he said, "Yeah, there's a customs there." And she said, "Oh, okay." And the reason why is whenever you would fly into Tokyo before, because Haneda's so small in space, your bags and everything would be checked before they got on the plane. In other words, that kind of little reverse customs. And then you just picked your bag up and go when you got to Haneda. Now that they built this new airport, they have their room for customs. So they get off the plane. My dad, she's asking, where we go? And they're following my dad, you know. And he'd already been to Narita once. And they go through lines, and the customs have them open up their suitcase. And right on the top of it's a two-pound bag of marijuana. And my dad's looking at it like, and of course the Japanese police, boom, 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 in a hurry. And my dad's like, and she says, "You think you can help us out?" And my dad's like, "What do you want me to do? Can you get a hold of the British Embassy here in Tokyo for us?" My dad's like, "Who should I say is calling?" And she's like, "You don't know who we are?" And my dad's like, "No." That's my dad. Never got into rock and roll. And that's Lennon McCartney. And I don't know Paul. He's sitting right next to the whole airplane, right? And he didn't even know who Paul McCartney was.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And so he kind of, my dad speaks a little bit of Japanese, and he told him, Paul McCartney, Paul, you can hear his name everywhere. And they were going to rough him up pretty bad. I'm telling you, that is the one country to do not mess around with drugs. Okay, they catch you there, it's bad news. So you can pull the wool over on people here maybe and get away with it, but they don't play around with it in Japan. And so sure enough, he got locked up, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Princess Anne had to come get his butt out of jail or something like that.
Yes, yeah.
And his wife, of course, and kids, they stayed in a hotel until they got out, and then they left the country. And I just remember this whole story because that morning at about 4 o'clock, my dad comes in my room and says, "Hey, you got tickets to McCartney?" And I'm like, "Yeah. Don't think you're going to his concert. I'll tell you anymore."
Love it.
I just still to this day cannot believe that he didn't realize who he was sitting next to.
I love it.
But that's Paul in his pot. He just loves it, And of course, he just got remarried again to a really nice girl. And the weird part about it is I had the biggest crush on Linda McCartney when I was in high school. It was like, she was my rock star, And I'm just like, "You hit her! I can't believe it," And so it's just a funny story,
it's a great story.
They had to skip the show, and the rest is history. So
yeah, you can Google Don's story up, by the way, and it still has been reprinted when people talk about McCartney. Thanks for sharing that. That's interesting. I'm gonna leave you with this thought. Aristotle said the soul never thinks without a mental picture. Hope you got one.